At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
To the south of France, to paradise at summer's end. Simon Constable reporting for Barron's and the Wall Street Journal. And this program, we begin with the climate to make certain that there is no disruption in paradise. Simon, a very good day to you. It is modestly warm here, headed into the high 80s, perhaps 90s. Beautiful late summer, very green for all the rain we've had. That's southern New England. How is it with you in paradise? Good day, Simon.
Good day, John. It's a delightful day today. It's 90 Fahrenheit. I think we're getting near the end of the summer, 90s stuff. And so when we get into September, I think that will be quite unusual. And it's been dry and sunny and light breeze. So absolutely lovely right now.
We look at your harvest. As I recall last summer, this is your second full summer living in paradise. The crops are taken in early in the summer, and then they plant the sunflowers. How high are the sunflower fields?
The sunflowers are amazingly high, and they're all over the place. They're about 6 feet tall. Some of the smaller ones are maybe 4 or 5 feet, but they're very high and looking absolutely beautiful. And that's in the big commercial fields. But we've also got this other great gift, a gift from nature, really, is that on the hedgerows of the very small lanes, which are surrounding where I live, which are one-lane roads, there are a multitude of blackberries, and they're all ripening right now, millions and millions of them. So I feed a few to the dog each morning as I walk her, and she seems to absolutely love them. And they're sweet and they're fresh and they are free. And that's absolutely delightful.
And who consumes the blackberries? Who picks them? Are they a commercial enterprise, or are they for the local creatures?
They're for the local creatures. They're just basically a weed going out there. They're a weed on the side of the road, and they're just growing there. And the thorns are bigger than most thorns I've seen on blackberries ever. Now, they're there all the time. We also have them in the garden as well to go around there. These are not a commercial crop in any way, the ones that I see. Yes, you can go down to the supermarket and buy a punnet of them, and they'll have been chilled and washed and all the rest of it. But these are just weeds, and delightfully tasteful weeds, and full of vitamin C and everything.
I mentioned that my blackberries, I need to fence off because I have Wally the black bear who comes by, and it's foolish to put a fence up in front of a 7-foot black bear. He swipes it down and grabs what he wants. Fortunately, my blackberries aren't ripe yet, so he hasn't bothered me for a while. The answer to the question, Simon, where does a black bear go? Anywhere he wants to. So we'll move on to commodities. You have blackberries. I have blackberries. My sunflowers, by the way, I plant them early, so I have some that are approaching 12 feet. Yours will get that big before they harvest. But your sunflower fields have been painted. Mine have not been. Your famous sunflower field.
Very, very funny, John. I'm sure yours will be painted too. I'll send someone over to do that.
All right. We move to commodities. We've been watching for some time at the energy complex, and the metals have not moved despite all the bad news out of Ukraine and all the bad news out of the Middle East. Any direction change these last weeks?
Direction change? No. Brent crude is still down. It's down 7% from last year. It's now well under $80 a barrel. It's $78.77 a barrel. That's 40 gallons of Brent crude, which then gets refined into gasoline. The diesel fuel here is now in the low 60s per liter, which is very good for around here. That's fantastic. We've got copper, so also no change in direction. It's higher by almost 9% versus last year. We've got other things like orange juice up 44% since last year. Coffee up 70% since last year still. Cocoa up 172% since this time last year. So the directions are all the same, and that's the way they're going, and that's what's been happening over the last few weeks. Nothing really to change there. Oh, and I forgot to mention wheat, which is down 15% over the last year. So it continues its slide down. And that indicates that people aren't too worried about the war in Ukraine and Russia that's spreading quite a lot at the moment. People are, or the investors, I should say, are not worried that this is really going to disrupt the wheat crop this year, which surprises me, but we'll see.
So the middle class commodities, orange juice, chocolate, coffee, and I imagine tea, are all up over year over year. That means, of course, there's a market and a supply disruption. I think there have been harvest problems in West Africa and even in Brazil. So we're watching that, but it's nothing to do with the war. It's to do with demand. Now we move to a French story. Several French stories have come up this week. I hold you responsible for these, Simon, because you're half a Frenchman now. And so we have to look at something that touches all of us. The arrest of a man named Durov. When he landed in France, he's a French citizen born in Russia, escaped Russia in 2014, and he's a billionaire. He's not only a crypto billionaire, one of those young men without gray in his hair who bought crypto at $400 a coin and is now sitting on billions, but he also was the founder of several social media platforms, one of which is Telegram, extremely successful. That's what the Kremlin uses when it puts out announcements. It's the Russian Facebook and Twitter, all combined in one. He's been arrested in France because of the criminal complaint mentions all the criminal activity on Telegram that he's to be held responsible for. This has alarm bells going off in Silicon Valley and wherever Elon Musk is right now, because Mr. Zuckerberg and Mr. Musk and other dignitaries of Silicon Valley can equally be blamed for content on their programs, on their platforms, because you and I exist on the platform. That's how we do business. As of now, is there any concern to you or to your editors that lawfare is being used against the social media platforms to censor them? That's what it looks like, Simon.
Well, it certainly looks like that to me. Well, we've already heard an apology in the last few days from Mark Zuckerberg about censoring things during the COVID pandemic in America and around the world. And that certainly seems to be what we're hearing now about Telegram certainly seems to be carry on with that, which is censor and do as we say, or we'll shut you down. And that's coming from the French government and probably will come from the wider European Union governments. It seems to me to be a little bit of a sledgehammer to crack a nut. What we've got to remember, though, is that the biggest economy in Europe spent most of the last century under a surveillance state. I'm talking about East Germany here, which is almost half of Germany, and Germany is now the biggest economy in the European Union and will remain that way. Whatever happens, it's just far and away bigger than France or anywhere else. And I don't think this is a very good idea. Yes, there are bad things going on there, and maybe this Russian man who fled Russia can be persuaded to take more action against illegal activities. And we're talking some highly illegal activities here. But the worry is that it gets extended into, oh, my goodness, you said something that insulted somebody else, and therefore you must be censored or sent to jail. And I think that will be a very bad situation. What we really need is free speech. Get rid of the criminal stuff, but free speech where people say, well, actually, I don't agree with you, and here's why, et cetera, et cetera. That's free speech. You don't have to agree on everything, but you need to be able to listen and understand. And I think that's okay. And I think this is just a step too far by Macron. But we'll see what happens. I suspect this goes all the way to the very top of the courts within the EU.
Disinformation is the charge that could be leveled at us, Simon. Disinformation.
It could be.
Yes.
It could be. It could absolutely be aimed at us or anyone who speaks. And that would kill the media, and also it would kill freedom in the European Union, because if this happens in France, it will certainly get taken up by all the other EU members, and that would not be good. Disinformation is not something I ever intend to do, and I know for a fact that you would never intend to do that either, but it could be very easily slapped on anyone. It was being slapped on people during the COVID pandemic by the government via Facebook in the US. And that seemed to me to be, again, a step too far and really unfair and really against the principles of a modern democracy. Modern democracy means modern free speech, as we were brought up to believe.
Three years ago, if you had said that, you would have been a maverick and identified as not trustworthy. 3 years ago, we were all censored about the COVID-19, all of us, and we went along with it. The most effective censorship is self-censorship. You don't have to patrol it at all. You just hold back. Zuckerberg apologizes for listening to government direction, White House direction, to suppress humor. Humor, Simon. Zuckerberg is saying humor was suppressed about COVID-19. Now, we can make an excuse. Lots of excuses saying it was a pandemic. That's different than a war, or that's different than a political election. Is it? Humor about a political election can be suppressed. We can imagine that happening. We can also imagine.
We can imagine that happening. And we've seen that happen in Turkey, which borders the European Union, where you really cannot have any humor publicly, certainly not against the president of the country. And if that went away, that would be a disaster. And that would be like the Soviet era in Russia and its satellite countries. That would be an absolute disaster. So let's hope, let's pray that that doesn't happen.
It's not a plan, Simon. Hope is not a plan. If it's coming for Durov, he's a multi-billionaire. Who's protected? All right. One other issue about Mr. Macron, who's very active. He chose not to choose the prime minister that the left gave him. He needed the left in the most recent national election in order to hold off the charge of Le Pen's party. Right now, they're calling your assembly, you're half French, Simon, I'm holding you responsible for this. They're calling it a zombie assembly. Now, in America, that'd be a good joke and we'd be all safer. I don't know if that's true in France. Does the Le Pen party, which is all around you on the farms, do they have an opinion of Macron as dysfunctional, as hostile?
Well, I think anyone who refuses to appoint a prime minister would probably warrant the designation of an undecided person or, you know, someone who's not really doing the job right. Part of the job of being president of the country is appointing a prime minister, and one should have been appointed, whichever one, just get someone in there to do the job. It's a job that needs doing. And, you know, even the technocrat would be good, but he appears not to even to be doing that. I don't think this is a very good idea. The only good news is that without a prime minister, maybe nothing gets done, which means nothing bad gets done, which is what I was first taught on Wall Street, is that having a gridlocked Congress is great because nothing happens, which means nothing bad happens. So that might be the good news for France on this one.
Let's go to England. Simon Constable, who is half English as well as half French, Simon Constable in the south of France, and the new prime minister, Sir Keir Starmer, has made a speech in which he's used the word painful. Why? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bennett.